South Dakota, and the region.
Okay, somebody is going to have to explain that to me because that just makes absolutely zero sense.
And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
That is I. Good to be with you on this Tuesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 on the FM dial. Mark Zuckerberg out making balloon animals, so Facebook is a little bit on the fritz right now. But you know what? No problems on the X. People ragging on Elon Musk for one reason or another. Somehow, some way, no issues over there. At least not yet, anyway. But good to be with you here, just on the radio side of things here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Fun show. It's a hockey show for you here today on the Hub, as Rob Blindmeister of your state champion Aberdeen Lady Cougars, he'll be joining us coming up here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the show, so stay tuned for that. And also coming up towards the bottom of the hour, back half of the show, Jay Klein Connect. He's got your Aberdeen Wings Weekly. I'm David Tewksbury, back in the saddle with you on this Monday, or make that Tuesday edition of the show, with the man we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'd say I'm about 70% today. Yesterday, I was about 60, 65.
Okay.
Today, closer, I'd say 75 today.
Getting a little better?
Slowly but surely. The nose is still a little bit runny. Now it's just gone into the cough.
Yeah.
I've got the cough now.
Yeah.
And the kind of just, my throat isn't sore, it just sounds sore.
Sure.
It's a little raspy, but sounds like I could, sounds like I've been smoking a carton a day and being on jazz radio or something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm hanging in there. Hanging in there for sure, and great to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub. How are you? Are you doing well?
I'm doing fine.
How's
man.
Your life, Matt McClure?
You know, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good, you know. We're trying to get into a little bit of a workout routine and a diet routine here to start the spring, you know. They always say, you know, abs are made in the kitchen. So we're trying to get a little bit better on the eating side of things. And now that basketball's over, I'm trying to really focus in on the diet and working out. So I've been doing that a lot here the last week or so. Proud of myself.
Diet and exercise. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. That's good. I'm living the single life here this week. My wife is, she's back home for some work trip or something. So my wife and my daughter, they're back in Chicagoland. It's just me and the dog this week.
Really? I was just going to say, did she leave Lucy with you or no?
No, she's she brought her with. So it's basically going to be seats up, doors are open. That's how we use the bathroom in the Tewksbury household with just one guy in there.
Hey, you can buy half pizza for dinner every night.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. People are like, oh, you know, it's so difficult to cook for one. And sometimes it can be, I guess. I mean, I did it for years, so I'm kind of used to it. But I'm thinking burgers and tater tots tonight.
Oh, there you go. That's pretty good. Throwing a little college basketball possibly in the background.
Yeah, NSIC championships. Definitely will listen to that. Looking forward to those matchups on the women's and guys' side of things. Unfortunately, the Wolves, of course, will not be partaking, and it'll be Team 1 versus Team 2 on the guys' side, and it'll be Team 1 versus Team 2 on the women's side there. So the top two seeds make it for both respective genders.
Yeah, I wish we would have saw some parity, maybe a little bit more upsets. That would have made it a little bit more fun, right?
Yeah, it would have been. If Northern would have been playing last night, I think they might have had a tough time against Mankato, but they beat them once, so you just never know, and Mankato just did Mankato things against Southwest, and we were kind of talking about that matchup yesterday. We're like, yeah, I like Mankato to beat Southwest fairly handily, and they did. They won the ball game 88-72. Joey Badd had 26 points, and the big key about any team that is opposite Mankato is just kind of like we talked about with Aberdeen Central the other day, protect the Wilson. Protect the ball with your life. And yesterday, Southwest, they had 25 turnovers, which is actually not that bad of a number against that defense that forces 28 a game. And they had 27 points off of those turnovers. That's the big difference.
That's incredible, that stat, that they force about 28 a game. And they had 27 points off of those turnovers, which was huge. And like you said, if you don't take care of the basketball against them, or at least a little bit, if you can stay within the 20 range, I think you got a good chance. But when you get to 25 to 30, you're in trouble. And they score at will. It seems like they score every time they go down the floor. And 88 points, it's going to be tough to beat them when if you don't outscore them. And Southwest. They had a pretty decent game offensively with the 72 points, and Stoltzman had a double-double, but just not enough.
Yeah, really good club for sure are both of those programs, but Mankato a little more fresh. Of course, they had the day off there on Sunday to kind of watch the Northern and SMSU matchup. Okay, whoever wins, we're going to attack them this way, and you kind of get that as that number one seed, and certainly makes sense. All right, coming up next on the show, Rob Weinmeister, he'll be joining us here live in studio in the next 10 minutes on the show. But first and foremost, we got to get to the jump with
Mr. Unlimited.
And Mr. Unlimited has unlimited options, apparently, as he has been shown the door in Denver. It's not officially official because the new league year hasn't started yet, but Russell Wilson out in Denver after just 2 years, 11 wins to his resume.
Yeah, they had to make that move.
Did they, though?
I think so. I mean,
you've got $85 million that's tied up now.
Yeah.
Did you really have to make that move?
You probably didn't, but
I don't know.
Where were you going to go with him? I mean, you were going to sit him, so it's either keep him on your team or try to move on from him. But they, like you said, they're going to be paying a lot of money, and they're going to be paying him to be on another team practically. So anybody who takes in Russell Wilson, Tukes, is going to be paying him on a really team-friendly deal.
Don't forget now, when the Broncos traded for him, they gave him a new extension, a five-year,
I think it was
$272 million. That hasn't even kicked in yet.
Kicks in next year, right?
Correct. So this is basically like the NFL's version of the Bobby Bonilla deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you're a baseball guy. That's right up your alley.
Yeah.
Right down Broadway. So I'm telling you, this is kind of that NFL equivalent of that. And Russell Wilson's going to be looking for a new job. I don't think he's completely washed. He looked okay last year. Year before that, he looked terrible. But Sean Payton and company, they just didn't want to deal with Russell Wilson. They said he's kind of, well, they didn't say anything. But I'm reading between the lines of watching a guy that had been a Seahawk for the last decade plus. And he said the same things in Seattle on the way out as he did in Denver. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I've seen this story before. And good luck to you, I guess.
Didn't really have the worst year either last year. 26 touchdowns and only 8 interceptions. That's pretty good considering how everybody wants to bash him. Mm-hmm. I thought he played okay. I think he could help a team. But here's the thing. He's got to change his role.
Yeah.
And it seems like his legacy has really taken a hit. If he would have retired, Tukes, like after playing in Seattle, I think people would say this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, maybe not first ballot, but this guy's a Hall of Famer. Now you get a little question marks. So I don't know what you think about that. He's got to shape his career here and see if he can let something work out.
Yeah, I kind of tweeted about that yesterday, and it's just strange to me because when Tom Brady played, when Peyton Manning played, Drew Brees, all of these great legends of the 21st century, you know what none of them talked about while they were playing? Their legacy. Nobody talked about it. It's like, yeah, I'm just going out to try to beat Kansas City this week. I'm just trying to go out and beat New England this week. Russell Wilson's out here talking legacy. It's like, what happened to the one game at a time, Russ? What happened? What's going on here? Strange.
Man, it is strange. It's a very strange situation. I think he's got to leave his ego at the door next team he goes, for sure.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. His wife is Ciara. I don't know if you know that or not. So,
yeah, I do know that.
Yeah, he went kind of Hollywood. I think that was kind of...
You're going Hollywood and Denver, though?
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with all that, for sure. But it should be interesting to see where he lands. Pittsburgh, I've heard that name floated. I've heard Kirk Cousins could go to Atlanta, which means the Vikings could be looking for a new guy. Russell Wilson in the Twin Cities? You never know. We'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. Hey, speaking of the Vikings, they actually just lost their running back. They didn't lose him, actually. They cut him as Alexander Mattison. He's been shown the door. He's going to be... testing free agency. The Vikings are going to be looking for a new running back.
Wow, that one surprised me a little bit. He had a decent year last year, but didn't he have a little bit of fumble problems, it seemed like, early on in the year? But I don't know. That one surprised me a little bit.
I did too, and Dalvin Cook was shown the door, so Madison was going to be the guy. Well, you got 1 year to be the guy. If you can't figure it out in a year, welcome to 2024 NFL, pal. They're hit the bricks.
And welcome to 2024 running backs.
Yeah.
They just kick you out the door, even if you have a good year. They don't value that position at all anymore.
No, it really isn't. And I've been kind of holding on this one, this final one here on the jump. Have you ever heard about this guy named Robbie Avila?
No.
Robbie Avila is a player for the Indiana State Sycamores. Now, we don't talk about the Indiana State Sycamores much on the Sports Hub. Matter of fact, this might be the first time we've ever talked about it.
I think Larry Bird went there.
He did. That's correct. Now, the reason that we're talking about this guy is Not exactly Larry Bird, but they're calling him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And yeah, this guy just looks like he's one of those guys that's probably 28, 29, maybe 30 years old, that's just beating you up in men's basketball at the Y.
Yes.
And he's a D1 player.
And he's got a great look with the goggles on too.
Yeah.
That is a great look. And like you said, he's just a beefy big guy inside that's just definitely hard to guard.
Robbie Avila, 35 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 58% from the floor in a game this last week. They call him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How about that? That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I like, you know, everybody's trying to get the cool nickname. I mean, look at me. I mean, I call myself the Cobra, so I understand. Everybody wants to try something different, so I'm okay with it.
Well, you're quite the maverick, you know. You know, you are kind of that trailblazer.
By the way, Indiana State, they're really good. They're first in the Missouri Valley, the conference, so just something to point out there.
Not only that, but I saw that they were either in the top 25 or receiving votes for the first time since Larry Bird played.
Wow.
That was a couple weeks ago. And finally, very, very quick, like, want to hit on this. How about a big shout-out to our guy, Sundance Wicks. He's officially been named the Coach of the Year in the Horizon League. Preseason number 11 selection. And right now, Sundance Wicks has that program turned around. He's been on the program multiple times over the years. So a big shout-out to Sundance Wicks for turning around that program immediately.
11 preseason, 3 in the Horizon Tournament. And they got a first-round bye, Tukes. Mark your calendars, Thursday, March 7th, big matchup in the first round of the Horizon. Congratulations to Sundance Wicks. And I've been following that team pretty closely since we had that one on there. They've been a lot of fun to watch this year.
Well, looking forward to seeing them continue to play. So we'll keep our eyes on the Phoenix. That's right, the Green Bay Phoenix. Coming up next on the program, Rob Weinmeister, the Coach of the Year in girls hockey, also a state champ. He'll join us next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stick around. We're back on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. And, of course, our Facebook is down here today, much like the rest of the country. So they're working out the kinks out in Silicon Valley about that. Silicon Valley. Anyway, Matt McClure, David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the head coach of the year, Rob Weinmeister, champion head coach as well. Thanks for popping in the studio. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And it's difficult for our radio audience to see, but you brought in the traveling trophy as well. This is a pretty sweet deal, huh?
Yeah, I thought it would be a good conversation piece, I guess.
So I know in the NHL, everyone gets a day with the trophy. So is it similar for you and Cougars hockey?
You know, I don't know. I guess we haven't talked about it. You know, something to be sure if the girls want to take it for a day and put it on their dresser or whatever. I'd be good with that.
How heavy is this thing?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of weight to it.
Yeah, it looks pretty bulky.
The Griffith Cup is what it's called.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I like it.
Yeah, of course, like the one day, like you said, Tukes, the day the Facebook doesn't work.
Yeah,
you
know, naturally.
We got the hardware here. But Coach, can you take us through that final one there on Sunday, 1-0 final? I was talking about it yesterday. Palms had to be pretty sweaty there in the third period, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that I felt we were playing a good game. You know, we were creating a lot of pressure on them where they really couldn't get into a rhythm. They had a couple good opportunities where Chloe came up big with some saves, but I felt we were in a good spot and it was just a matter of time. And then, you know, just like we practice, the girls were able to put one in. So
I want to talk about Chloe Vikander in, you know, specifically because a lot of times when you've got an offense like you guys do that find the back of the rope a lot. Sometimes, you know, that other player between the pipes, you know, you're out there counting sheep or something like that. Feels like the action is all the way on the other end of the ice. How difficult is that for someone to stay locked in for that amount of time when the offense is so hot and the defense is good too, don't get me wrong, but it's just like you're kind of all out there in left field by yourself.
Yeah, I think that's one of the bigger challenges, right, is just staying in the game mentally, especially when you're sporadic coming down and having an attack on you. And you still may have to make a huge save, but you got to be in the game, even though you may not see as many shots and stuff like that. So, yeah, it makes it challenging. But, you know, the other side of that, too, I think the thing that improves her is she faces that offense every day in practice.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And you won the first game over the weekend 10-0, and then you had a close 4-3 game and 1-0. So, you know, you played a lot of one-goal hockey games there Saturday and Sunday. Could you just speak on how kind of was a little bit closer in the final two games than that 10-0 one, the first one?
Yeah, I thought the first game was good just to get our flow going, you know, and we had all the line scoring, which helped. And then the second game, we knew it was going to be a little bit different because we kind of employed a little bit of a different defense, if you will, which kind of made us down to four offensive players otherwise, our 2D and our two forwards, because one of our forwards was just kind of playing a one-on-one with their top scorer just to take her out of the game. And so we had to adjust, which I knew was going to be a little closer, but you know, we got a great goal from Rachel, you know, on a good pass from Maddie on a backhand saucer pass, and just one-timed it in, and that was great. But being in those competitive games, I think, also helped us for Sunday, because I think that Sunday the girls were confident, they were calm throughout the game. I just think they had a feeling that we were going to get this done.
Rob Weinmeister joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5, and 7 in 10 years is pretty impressive. You know, we talk about culture a lot around these parts. What does that word mean to you, culture, and how do you create it over there with the Lady Cougars?
Well, I think the big thing is, like you say, culture is important, so it's starting all the little things, talking about the things that we want to do throughout the entire season, and then having clear expectation of what is expected of the girls every time they show up, the things that they're required to do in practice, the things that they should be doing outside of practice, schoolwork, and that kind of stuff. Just building that, and then, you know, you've started that tradition, and this weekend is a perfect example of it's a 1-0 game. So every little thing mattered, you know, whether it was back checking or winning the corner battle. All those little things made a difference in this game. And so that's where it was a true team win. You know, everybody contributed in some manner or another. And I think that's the big thing on the culture is you come play with the Lady Cougars, you're gonna be a contributing member of the team. You know, whatever that may be. You know, with Riley, that was her first league goal game of the year. Better time, but like I said, we practice that. We do a drill called one timers where you get the pass from behind the net and it's about getting it off right away. You know, putting it up, and we talked about putting it high because the goalie was low, and that's what she did. Put it in the upper corner.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, can you walk us through that game winning goal a little bit? What you saw from the sidelines there?
You know, yeah, from the side, you know, the girls were working down low, and you know, Sioux Falls did a great job of intercepting some passes. We didn't have as many shots as they did, but they were taking. We had girls there, and they were just breaking up the passes. But Morgan was able to get the pass across from behind the net to Riley, and she got it off right away, put it up in the upper corner, and it's a beautiful shot.
Put the biscuit in the basket, as they say, and that's an incredible story. The fact that it's her first goal of the season comes in the championship game. It's like a Hollywood script or something like that. What was that moment like for her? What do you think?
You know, she's had some opportunities where, you know, the puck's just bounced over her stick or she fumbled it a little bit. Yeah, it was the first goal in the league. So last weekend we went over to Minnesota, played a few games over there to prepare for the state tournament, and she had one a perfect shot just like that last weekend. Uh-huh. So I think that just, you know, built some confidence, and yeah,
that's phenomenal.
Yeah,
good for her.
That is awesome. You know, what was the message to the girls in that third period? You're in a 0-0 game. Obviously, you felt pretty good about where your team was at in that situation. You just didn't put the puck in the net, but what was your overall message going into that third period? Like, hey, this is it. We got 20 minutes left, and, you know, we crown a winner, right?
Yeah, I think my message was to them was, hey, we just got to continue to play our game, continue to put pressure on, get shots on net. I said the longer the game goes on 0-0, the more pressure is on them. There's no pressure on us. We just got to go out and play.
Rob Weinmeister joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. So, okay, we talk about the trophy here, which, again, is fantastic, traveling trophy. I really wish our Facebook was working today, but, again, thanks, Mark Zuckerberg. But, you know, there really isn't that big Hollywood speech. You know, I've talked with Saul Phillips about this for this year. He goes, you know, a lot of times when you turn on a Hollywood movie or something like that, you get the scene from Miracle with, all right, boys, this is that moment. You know what? Their time is done, and yada, yada. You know how all the movies go. So when do players, like, expect that sort of thing coming from you? Or are you a pretty rah-rah guy? Like, what's your coaching style, I guess?
Well, it's kind of interesting because sometimes, I don't know, it's like I try to pump them up and it's just, I walk out and it's like just quiet. Uh-huh. Okay, well, that worked. But no, I mean, I try to keep my speeches to just 3 or 4 minutes because I don't want to, you know, you're going to lose their attention after that. And usually I just cover the things that we need to do. We usually set 3 goals for the game. You know, a couple of our goals against Sioux Falls were, one, we wanted pressure, which I thought we did a heck of a good job of putting pressure on them, which disrupted their offense. Winning the races to the 50-50 pucks, again, those are huge, you know, when you get control of those. And then it was putting shots on net. And, you know, we needed to do a better job of that. I mean, we were getting some opportunities. We just weren't getting the looks. And between the third period, we talked about that. Hey, she's coming across low. We move that puck to the other side. We go upstairs on it. And that's what we did. And it turned out.
There you go.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes they say, you know, a hot goalie can take you so far, right? And obviously Sioux Falls had a pretty good goalie, only allowing one. But, you know, you talk a lot about pressure. You know, can you talk a little bit about your defensive pressure? Because they played a really nice game with the shutout. Obviously had the shutout in net as well.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that was part of it too, is, you know, one of the things, especially the last, I would say, month, we focused on is being more defensive-minded team, which includes, hey, the back checking, defense stepping up. And third period, our defense and our forwards blocked a ton of shots. I mean, yeah, Chloe had 23 or whatever, but there was a lot of them that didn't get to her because they were blocking them ahead of time, challenging everything, not giving anybody a free look, you know, which part of the pressure to me is, you know, put pressure on that person before they're ready. They're going to get rid of the puck. They're going to turn it over, shoot it early. It's not going to be the shot they want. And the girls did a fabulous job of doing that.
Rob Weinmeister joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So I mentioned 7 in 10 years. This is kind of a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm usually good at asking dumb questions. Where does this one rank? I mean, it's you know, it's the latest one, so it's very fresh, top of mind. But 7 in 10 years, that's pretty special.
Yeah, you know, I think this one's special in the fact that, you know, some of these girls that, a lot of these girls that are on this team this year, you know, haven't been contributing members of one of those other championships. So it is completely fresh for them. It's, a year filled with adversity and they persevered, which is one of those life lessons they learn along the way, but they got the reward at the end. And I know it means a lot to them, and I'm just thrilled to see the smiles on the faces and see their efforts pay off.
Kind of a follow-up question. Does it feel like, I mean, obviously the Aberdeen Wings here in town, hockey it's a big deal here in Aberdeen. Does it feel like the Cougars are continuing to grow forward and forward because of this winning culture that's been established? Or, you know, how are the numbers, I guess, before the season starts and tryouts and that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, you know, it's up and down, I would say, as far as girls playing hockey. You know, we have good numbers, but not as good as numbers as we have had in the past. And it would be great to see younger girls come out, because that's where we need to develop them, is from the younger levels. You know, it's just like a lot of sports. You don't have the number of girls in it that you would like to see. Don't have the answer for why not, but I encourage anybody that's interested to come out.
Sure. Kind of just ebbs and flows, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kind of to piggyback off of what Tuke said, obviously 7 to 10 years and this one being the latest, what makes this team different, I guess, from, you know, last time you won it, or, you know, in previous years? What makes this team, I guess, different and special? Is it the fact that, you know, you didn't have that number one kind of player, or what was it?
Yeah, you know, there's a quote in the locker room, and hopefully I can get it right now. It's, you know, I want to be a great team instead of a team of greats. And I think that's what we have. I mean, you know, we didn't have any first-team All-Staters or anything like that. But we had some quality players. You know, Kaylin, Rachel, and Chloe were all second-team All-State. But the whole team contributes to the success. You know, we don't have a top line. We rotate lines all the time. Everybody gets their turn. And I think it's the balance that this team brought. And because there was no specified standout player and everybody worked together, and it just showed what you can do as a team.
One or two more here with Rob Weinmeister on FSA. Do you have some players that are going to be aging out? And, you know, how do you replace those players that have had some great seasons and great careers?
Yeah, we have 3 seniors, Kaylin Poppin, Allie Stoltenberg, and Morgan Jones. So we'll lose those. Great leadership from those 3. You know, and then it's a matter of, I guess, where girls are in our program as far as who steps up to move up to the varsity program. We have a U14 program that some of the girls are. So when they age out of there, they just automatically come up to U14. Mm-hmm. But I guess regardless of how many we get, we'll just go back to the drawing board and starting over fresh every year. You know, the only bonus is they've been there. They know the expectation. Like you said, they know the culture, and you just start working at it again.
This might be a dumb question, but are you already starting to think about next year, or are you letting this one soak in a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not thinking about next year yet. I'm enjoying this one just because, like I said, for a lot of these girls, I mean, they were huge contributing members of this team, and just seeing the joy on their face, and that's, you know, that for me, that's one of the reasons you coach is the impact that you make on the young lives, and so it's good to see that.
The Cobra over here is a big Mountain Dew guy. He might have to drink some Diet Mountain Dew out of this cup or something like that.
I've laid off the Mountain Dew here recently. Have you? I've been good.
Okay, gotcha. Coffee guy, maybe you could drink some coffee from the cup or something.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of coffee. Too much for me.
Yeah, I think for all three of us combined. Well, Coach, thanks so much. Congratulations on the cup, and congratulations again, and good luck next year.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Our pleasure for sure. That's Rob Weinmeister joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll come on back and take a look at some of the NSIC matchups from yesterday and also a Wings Weekly towards the back half of the show. We're back on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. Apologies. No Facebook stream here today, but we will have the full conversation with Jay Kleinkonect and Scott Langer, as well as with Rob Weinmeister on our website on HubCityRadio.com following the show here today. And we just took a picture with the cup, huh?
Yeah, pretty cool. That cup is pretty heavy.
A little girthy.
Yeah, 35 to 40 pounds, I got to say. What did he say off the air there? It's been only three teams have won that, mm-hmm. have won the cup in South Dakota, and they've won... they're the latest. I think that's pretty cool, that tradition.
7 in 10 years is very, very impressive indeed. 8 and 11, can it be done? Why not?
Why not?
Why not them?
They only graduate three seniors, and you heard them talk about it. It's kind of a team that's they don't have a big standout. They got a couple second team all you know all conference players, mm-hmm. but they certainly come back next year.
Yeah, no doubt. So keep your eyes out for the Aberdeen Lady Cougars and an opportunity to perhaps be a part of the program. Contact Coach Weinmeister and company there, and I'm sure you can check out their Facebook page for more details on that as well. NSIC tournament, the semifinals was going on yesterday. We talked about MSU Mankato handling Southwest on the women's side of things, 88-72. Joey Batt had 26. Also, you had UMary defeating Minnesota Duluth, 83-75. Lexi Schneider, I've been saying all year, you can basically pencil in 20 and 10 from her. That's going to happen on a nightly basis, or at least pretty close to. She had 31 and 11 last night. Very impressive, but they are at their best when they get Mariah McKeever and Megan Zander involved. And McKeever had 21 last night. Zander had 20. So you got three players combining for 72 points. You're going to win a lot of games, not only that, but you're going to beat some good teams. And Duluth is very, very good. Duluth, of course, national runner-up last year. They down them. They send them packing 83-75. Tatum Rhodes had 25 for the Bulldogs, but it wasn't enough. And that sets up UMary against Mankato for the NSIC Tournament Championship crown. Should be a dandy tonight.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, too, they played Mankato earlier this year, and it was 76-66. Mm-hmm. So 10-point game.
In favor of Mankato.
And Mankato won that game. But you got to think, you know, if you can keep Mankato there in the 70s, you got a decent chance, I think. And you, when you got somebody like Schneider who can go off at any moment, I think you got a chance, and that should be, like you said, a dandy. Two of the top teams in the NSIC, man.
Yeah, literally, the two top teams with UMary there and Mankato. Hey, you know, I'm going to say something. I'm going to tee one up. I'm going to put one right down the middle of the plate for you. I'm going to lob you an underhanded one. Biggest key to the game tonight for UMary, what do you think?
You know, you can't turn over the basketball.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's it. If you have 25 turnovers, you're losing. That's the way I look at it.
I'm right there with you. On the guys' side of things, the Cinderella story is over for Winona State, but they might be making the regional. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. They might overleap Minot. We'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But Duluth defeats Winona State last night, 90-76. Drew Blair has had an incredible run, and he had 38 points, and he might be the hottest player in the tournament, men's or women's side of things. He's been putting up gaudy numbers nightly, and he had 38 last night.
Yeah, and Winona State, they were really never in this game. You see that score, 14-point game, but it was 20 early in the first half. Good for them battling, but like you said, Minnesota, Duluth, just a little bit too much. And Drew Blair, 38 points. I mean, the guy is one of the best in the conference.
And they'll be taking on Mankato, who defeated Southwest yesterday, 68-67. I heard Southwest got a steal with about 8 seconds left to go in the game. Chance to win it at the wire. They didn't get a shot off. And that's, I mean, you're thinking to yourself, okay, we just bowed our chest on defense. We made a great play. Now we've got an opportunity to win this thing at the wire, and they didn't get a shot off.
Yeah,
they
lose 68-67. Somehow got to get a shot off in that situation. You got plenty of time. You get a steal with 8 seconds. It's not like you got a second. Not a great look in the end of that game, and that's one they're going to be thinking about all offseason.
Yeah, no two ways about that. So the championship Tuesday is officially set. On the guys' side of things, once again, it'll be Duluth against Mankato. On the women's side, it'll be Mankato against UMary. We've got one broadcast on our airwaves tonight. That'll be over on KSDN, Leola Frederick. They'll battle Potter County. That's the 6 versus 11 pairing. Pregame begins at 5:30. Tip time is slated for 6 o'clock. Sodak 16, B, and A. It's tonight.
Yeah, let's go, man. Trip to the state tournament on the line. Looking forward to those matchups and we'll see what happens, and we'll talk about it all tomorrow.
That'll all be tomorrow during a Wolves midweek. Jay Klein Connect, he's coming up next with your Wings Weekly, talking with Scott Langer.
Another edition of Wings Weekly starts now. Jay Klein Connect here, along with head coach Scott Langer. And coach, before we jump into the weekend, huge shout out to the Aberdeen Lady Cougars on their state championship that they won yesterday in a 1-0 tight game against Sioux Falls. That is, I was thinking about this morning a bit, and I started to do a little checking, and I checked with our own Aaron Smith. Their 7th state championship in 10 years. That's pretty dang amazing. And congratulations, ladies, and all your hard work and everything that you've been able to accomplish. Boys varsity coming up this next weekend, and good luck to them. Well, Coach, a 4-1 loss on Friday, early goal from the blue line kind of changed the game, but, you know, surely you had some chances. Outshot 40-20 in that matchup, but you know, some key scoring chances and Luke Backel with a very tenacious goal there, where he stayed with it, came around from the back of the net and took stayed in the gritty area, like we've talked about. Your thoughts on Friday night? I know on Saturday we kind of chatted a little bit, and you said there wasn't a whole lot to take away from it because it wasn't the best start. But your thoughts on Friday's matchup?
Yeah, I mean, an extremely slow start. They pinned us in the zone for the first 2 minutes, create a lot of momentum, and then we're on the road and we take a penalty, which doesn't help our situation at that point. And they ended up throwing a floater to the back of the net, and I think that really changed our mindset, and it probably shouldn't have. We should be pushing back right away and going back after him, and I just thought they carried the pace.
Well, obviously, you got to, as we always talk about, you got to put them behind you, and you move on to Saturday and try to change things up a little bit. Unfortunately, a 4-1 loss on Saturday night as well. And I said this in the broadcast like, probably too many times, and I'm going to say it again now. I feel like that breakaway and the collision that happened with Turner, took two guys out of the play, created an opportunity in front of our goal. There were DeBall's trying to make a save and so on. But again, you got two guys down on the ice. That seemed like it was like one of those fluky, weird plays that kind of changed things, at least in my mindset, too. But again, I know you guys see this game a whole lot differently than I do. Your thoughts on Saturday? What went well? What didn't?
They had good goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that they definitely had the edge on us in the goaltending spot. I mean, but we gave up a couple breakaways. But when you're fighting for your life, you got to have one or two of them. The collision was embarrassing in a lot of ways. Obviously, we lose manpower over it. At this level, probably shouldn't happen. But it definitely changed the entire game at that point. You got one of your teammates down and out, and you're down to Winkler was in the box at one point too. I think we had 3D that we were playing with. So it's hard to win against a good hockey team like Minot when your numbers aren't there and you're doing things like that to create your own adversity. So that's kind of how the weekend went right there. That hit right there summed up our weekend.
Unfortunately, trip up to Minot, like you said, a good hockey team up there right now in Minot, but a team that you're 4-8 against on the season. Now, unless I'm mistaken, of all the Central Division teams, of the 13 losses that they have, you've given them more losses than any other team in the Central. As we get closer and closer towards the end of the season, what did you see from Minot that you feel like, okay, well, we should have done this better, we need to do this better, because it's very possible that you're going to see them again, whether it's in the playoffs, or wherever, because, again, they're at the top of the division, still second as far as wins go in the entire league, and their power play percentage, penalty kill percentage, top of the entire league. They're doing some things right up there. But a team, and I know, we always talk about not thinking that far ahead, but getting a chance to see them in their building and see what do they do well? What do you have to do against them if you end up, hypothetically speaking, and I know you're not great at, that hypotheticals are not part of this plan, but what do you got to do different?
Our work ethic needs to be better.
Yeah.
We need to compete for 60 minutes against them. It's the only way that we can beat them. That's the only way we beat them in the past. It's the same thing with Bismarck. We need to have a full 60 minutes of solid structured hockey, and then that's the type of team we have right now in our locker room. And Minot's got three big time lines that they throw out there, and then their fourth line had two goals against us this weekend. So I mean, they're coming at you with four lines.
A lot of depth.
So your four lines have to be good, because you're on the road. You can't really cut down your bench. Especially in those type of games, you need everybody to have their legs. So they had the last matchup. They did a good job matching up, and we got to be a lot better. I mean, I don't know any of those. Everybody's searching for answers. The answers sit in this locker room. They sit in these stalls. That's where the answers are. That's where it is at this time of the year.
Yep.
Right? We can give them all that we want, and the staff is working extremely hard at giving them the tools and doing everything we can with the pre-scout and the development on the ice. I feel good about that, but it's in this locker room, and when it steps out of this locker room, they're the ones that have to prove the point.
No doubt the staff is doing everything they can. It just comes down to, man-to-man, what they've got to do for sure. Injuries and sicknesses and things like that certainly haven't helped here lately. What it seemed like the Wings were getting healthy toward down the stretch, some issues there for sure. So that doesn't help. But you just mentioned it, a full 60 minutes. It seems like consistency has been a common concept that we've talked about, and a common topic, I guess, that we've talked about. Is that something at this point in the season that you can still work on, or do you just kind of have to roll the dice and say this is what we've got?
I think it's a mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a complete mentality. We talk about being hockey tough and then being a warrior and all that stuff, and this is the time of the year when if you really are that, it shows.
Mm-hmm.
It rises to the top. Our issue right now is that I think you probably sit up there, watch the whole game. Our best players are our young guys. And, the Jibber Cools of the world and the Grant Winklers have come to the top. They've developed like we wanted them to, and now they're playing top minutes for us.
Yep.
Now you need your older guys to step up and to lead the way. Those guys are giving you good, solid minutes. You need your leaders to score the big goal, give the big hit, get the big fight, block the huge shot, all those little things that come down to winning hockey games. You can break it right down to the last shot block. We need to find that within the room. There's good hockey players in here, but, being a good hockey player and getting on the ice and performing that are two different things.
Right. Right. That is very true. And as you said, I mean, there's been definitely some improvement in some of these guys, and you can see it. And there's, you know, even talk around the community about, you know, what they're seeing and so on. But guys like Comfort, guys like Tishkevich, blocking shots. I think Tishkevich had probably five, six blocked shots on Saturday night. There are guys that are putting a lot of effort in. There's no denying that. So we're not taking anything away from anyone. Just you know, there are guys that are definitely starting to stand out. Now, you and I talked going into Saturday, too, about turnovers and trying to limit them. And I mentioned it, too, that it seemed like, and again, on Saturday, neutral zone. That was a lot of the turnovers seemed to me that they were happening in the neutral zone. How do you limit that? And is there a reason? When you look back as a coaching staff and you're watching it happen, now, granted, there's interception, you know, intercepted passes. There's a, you know, there's a hit. There's this, that. But is there something, a common denominator, a common thread where you can look at it and go, this is why we are doing this and what we need to change?
Fighting the process.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about those type of turnovers from day one. You know, everybody in hockey knows where the turnovers come from and how they hurt you. You know, you just hope at some point the guys figure it out where they know, you know what, there's a time and a place to try to make a play, or there's a time and a place to get pucks behind defensemen's feet and just go to work. And you've seen that again Saturday night. We had a straight 3-on-2. Nick Comfort ready to drive the net. We do a drop pass. It goes back the other way. That goes into the back of the net. Didn't work on that for 94 practices.
Right.
So, you know, when things like that start happening, you know, guys are pushing. Guys are trying to be over creative because we are getting outscored and we are losing some hockey games. And sometimes pressing makes you have some very bad habits.
Well, year in and year out, we see that, you know, that when we talk about holding the stick tight, whatever, when there is pressure on, it becomes a more difficult challenge for sure. Well, Minot, again, top of the division, they're number one. Bismarck in second right now. Austin is now in third. Wings drop to 4. St. Cloud in 5th. And North Iowa in 6th. That's the way the Central Division standings are shaking out right now. Up next, you're back home here at the ODI Center against Bismarck. And Bismarck's been hot, and you know, they have played well. They've played tough against you guys, but you play tough against them too. What are you, you know, and again, only a week ago, you saw the Bobcats. What are some keys?
Well, we can't wait tonight, too, to put our game together. I mean, it's got to come out Friday night. It's you know, I mean, we have what we have to play that game. We're not finding anybody else to go into the lineup at this point. So whatever we have come Friday night, those guys have to compete, and they need to play structured hockey like I keep talking about, because that's what we need to do as a team. Everybody pre-scouting us knows when we're on our game, we're good, we're structured, we're above the puck, we're tough to play against, and our goaltending's good. So all that stuff, that needs to shine at home, and we control our own fate when it comes to making the playoffs or not. So the chips are down.
Yeah, that leads me to maybe a little bit of a weird question, but to the casual observer or the casual hockey fan, you know, you just said when teams are looking at pre-scout and they know that when you're doing things well, you're tough to beat, but on the flip side of that, when you aren't playing structured hockey, you know, things aren't going your way. Is that something completely internal, or is that something that as other teams are watching film, they're like, we can do this to mess up their structure?
Yeah, there's a little of both.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, teams spend a lot of time during the week of pre-scouting their opponent and finding ways to exploit their weaknesses. So, you know, we're the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain identity, I think, anybody would say when they watch our team and we do have a win versus when we have a loss, it's night and day the way we play. Now you say, okay, well, as a coach, you know, how can you consistently get them to play that way? Well, it's just keep being demanding, and like they're going to do it and they're not going to do it.
I mean,
this is the age group where they can become a little defiant with how they want to do things in hockey. You know, they think everything's on Instagram, all the highlights on Instagram or how the game is played, and they don't realize that there's a lot of guys making $2 million in the NHL that are having to do all the dirty work so that one guy can make Instagram.
Right.
So
That's actually a great analogy.
That's what we're at right now as a fraternity in the coaching world. So, you know what? We need to put this one aside. It's a bad taste. Great for Minot. They did a great job. They beat us 8-2 over the weekend. So now we need to focus on how we can play Bismarck and try to salvage some points.
Without a doubt. All right, Coach. I say it all the time, but I know you're a busy guy, and I know how much you love doing these shows and having to break these things down, because it's frustrating when you don't come off a getting swept like that, for sure. I get that, but it's always nice to pick your brain and get a little bit of insight and let the fans know a little bit more about what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak. So thank you, and good luck against Bismarck coming up at the ODI Center this weekend.
Thanks, Jay.
And once again, that's the voice of your Aberdeen Wings, Jay Kleinkenecht, catching up with the head coach of your Aberdeen Wings, Scott Langer. To check out part two, you can check out the Aberdeen Wings on YouTube, their YouTube page, Wings Weekly, week number 25. That features Grant Winkler. Again, you can check that out on the Aberdeen Wings YouTube page. Just type in Wings Weekly, week 25, featuring Grant Winkler. Once again, the Wings are back at home against Bismarck this upcoming weekend. Big weekend for the Wings, trying to get back into the third place spot in the Central Division. If you want Wings tickets, give us a call at 605-229-3632. That's 605-229-3632. We've got Wings tickets at the best price in town here at Hub City Radio. That's it for us and our time together here today. This is David Tewksbury saying ever onward, always forward, never backward. We're back at it on Wednesday for a Wolves Midweek on FSA.